gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 88 for New Comic Book Day, January 17th. January 17th, 2018.
Yep, it's a new year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm one of your hosts, Ken Rose, and sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy Vern.
Hey, everybody, how you guys doing?
So, Vern, you went on a long trip this weekend.
I did. I took a little vacation.
So, you went out to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, how was the trip, man?
It was actually clear. I was hearing like it was going to be bad and everything, but we actually missed everything. It was cold.
How
because
did you miss
Chicago.
The storm?
We got lucky.
Did it come in after you, or did it just not hit Chicago as bad as it did here?
It just didn't hit. Like, a little bit of stuff fell on, like, the cracks in the sidewalk and a little bit on the grass, but people's cars were clear.
Wow.
So, it was cold
because
Chicago, but besides the weather just being cold, we're good.
We didn't get nearly as much as we were supposed to get here, but we did get plenty of ice beforehand.
Yeah, and when I came back, I had to shovel my driveway. I'm like, we're not getting in here.
Well, that it was really cold, so the snow was really light and blowing all over the place. So you have giant snow mounds.
I could tell there was ice underneath because as I'm shoveling, I'm like, man, I can't get under here. So I had to like get the first layer, then go at it again, pick the ice up. So I felt like Mr. Freeze attacked my house.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're dealing with a storm and such,
mm-hmm.
but D.C. actually was in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
this weekend for Martin Luther King weekend for the D.C. and D.C. event.
The morning I woke up while in Chicago, I pulled up my phone, was watching live stream, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good, and I found out some stuff I wasn't aware of, and they were just kind of really just going over everything that needs to be talked about right now in the comic book industry.
Yeah, it was interesting, because it was basically, it was a comic event, mm-hmm. a pop culture event.
Totally a pop culture event.
But it wasn't as much about the comic books as
what the effects
actual
of
social and life issues that are being dealt with in comics.
Yeah, it's kind of a reflection of what's going on in the world right now, and we're seeing that mirror in the comic books right now.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. What's going on in the world, we need that.
We got to give a shout-out, though. Mike's watching with us too. Hey, Mike, how's it going, man?
Hey, thank you everybody for tuning in.
That's right.
Doing pretty good on a Monday.
This is for anybody in the podcast feed. We're giving shout outs because remember, anytime we record live,
mm-hmm.
watch the DC Superpowers podcast
live on Facebook.
Live Facebook page because we record live and we broadcast it on Facebook.
Yes. So thank you everybody for tuning in. Also, and let us know if you guys saw some of the stuff from the DC NDC broadcast live. Let us know your thoughts.
Now you said you saw some of the I forget the name of the panel, but it was basically looking at comics through an African American lens.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting. It was. These were things that personally I already knew. Then we need more of that. But with this Black Lightning coming out this week,
yeah.
I think it's really good. And today we're recording right now, Martin Luther King Day. I thought it was really nice of them to give that opening for us.
Oh yeah,
so that was really cool. I just can't wait for Black Lightning.
Oh yeah,
I literally can't wait for that. Since
we're
woke
recording
up this morning,
on Monday
I
night,
was excited for it. I'm like trying to find everything I can today on there.
Well, we're recording on Monday night. Tomorrow night is Black Lightning.
Yeah. Oh man, it's gonna
be
great.
You know what? We may have to. I don't know. Maybe Vicky and I'll come over. We'll watch it over here with you or something.
Okay. Well, I might have to come over there. Neither one of us have cable.
No, neither one of us have cable. We got to figure out how to do this.
This is why I have to watch everything the day after.
Well, Wednesday night, we'll all get together and watch.
Okay, how about that? That'll work.
We'll do three shows because we'll watch Supergirl, Flash, and Black Lightning.
And
all of our shows come
Arrow
back
Arrow comes
this week.
Back Arrow's
Thursday,
on Thursday. So.
But, yeah, the DC on DC event, they had the looking through the panel
mm-hmm.
Of African-American lens.
Right.
They had one on, actually, just on Wonder Woman.
Right.
The history of Wonder Woman.
And we'll get to more of Wonder Woman
brings,
a little bit later,
yes.
too. She did good last year.
Oh, yeah, Wonder Woman, the movie we have some news from.
Mm-hmm.
They also had one that was, now these are the panels that were actually live streaming
right.
on the YouTube channel. Now, do they still have any of the panels up on YouTube?
The whole thing is, it's a 4-hour and 32-minute, 19-second video of everything that happened on Sunday.
So, they showed four of the panels.
Yeah.
They did the, looking through the Black America,
mm-hmm.
Black Lens, the Wonder Woman panel.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was DC's Pride,
yep.
and it was about LGBTQ diversity in comic books.
Mm-hmm. And then we also got a little bit of diversity also with the Black Lightning panels.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them was for TV shows and the
Well, the last books. One was about action in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And there was basically they were talking about violence in comics and how do the characters
triggers,
deal with this.
Yes. And we're going to get more into that,
part of that
too.
Was actually getting into... actually, PTSD.
Yeah.
And the way we, in reality, deal with PTSD, and how would you deal with that in a comic book world?
Yeah, well, as they said, there's another
story
here.
Yeah, we have a
story
about that because Tom King made an announcement at that panel.
Now, because remember I said, I don't think we recorded this, but I was talking to you about a year ago, and I was like, oh, I didn't know he went through all this stuff overseas and everything, and then came back and said he had to get back to normal life.
Until recently, I didn't realize he was actually a CIA analyst.
Yeah.
He was a counterterrorist analyst,
yep.
I believe.
I found that out last year, and I had no clue until I read that. And he said the worst thing with him coming back was trying to get a normal job. And he's saying it just kind of sucks when you've done all this for your country and you're with the government, but then when you try to get like another normal job,
it's
you can't
very
find
hard
one.
To do, yeah.
So that was a little discouraging for me. I was like, man, if I ever wanted to get really far in life with like a government job,
not always.
Yeah,
it's not that easy.
Not always. Yeah.
So he
talking about that. Like I said, we're going to get more into that as the show goes by. But I just thought it was really interesting how he brought that up of a conversation. Now, when I was hearing that, all I could think about was these superheroes need to be analyzed every once in a while whenever they have a big event. But from as we know, they get up the next morning, go about their job like normal. It's like, but
yeah, how do they deal with this?
Yeah, so I'm glad.
Well, what it is since it's in a comic book world, they've never really had to deal with it.
No, but it'll be an interesting storyline to see that.
To actually make it so that some of the people that are dealing with this, which it is a huge problem in this country, actually in the world, PTSD.
World, yeah, seriously.
So it's great. It's cool that DC's going to actually bring some of that in and show how some of these characters can deal with
mm-hmm.
it and maybe make it so that some of our soldiers, and not just soldiers, but other
people
dealing
with
PTSD can see themselves in the books.
Yep, that's the best thing. We always see a reflection of ourselves with these characters. That's why we love them so much.
Yeah. So that was the DC and DC panel. Now, like I said, go to the DC Comics YouTube channel, check out the live feed, watch all the panels. I only saw the last two, so I got to go back and watch the first two.
Same, because I woke up around, I don't even remember, I want to say maybe 8 in the morning, and I saw it, and I was actually able to rewind enough to pick up some of the stuff I missed. I didn't want to go through the whole thing. That would have been like 50 minutes of fast forward or rewinding, so I just dealt with where I was.
Well, two other things that they did have there. Was they had, we mentioned Black Lightning premieres for us tomorrow. They actually had the red carpet premiere for Black Lightning there.
And I've been hearing great things about it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's loving Black Lightning right now.
That was one thing I was worried about. I'm like, is it going to be good? And I looked up the reviews and what everyone was saying, even the ones that saw it there, like they loved it. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy it too.
Oh, yeah. And then also they had the premiere for Gotham by Gaslight, which comes out digital. The last week of January.
We're going to have to find a way to watch that and give our opinion.
Well, then it comes out Blu-ray and DVD in the 1st of February.
Mm-hmm.
So
always,
we'll be able to get there and watch it.
After DC does that. I think everywhere does that now. You'll get a stream and then a month
later. A lot of times it's Warner Brothers does that
okay.
a lot.
Well, I know we've been doing this show for a while and we keep getting that, like Suicide Squad.
Warner Brothers Animation or Warner Brothers Films.
Oh man, I can't wait till we talk a little bit about Warner Brothers Animation. I'm really excited for a certain character.
Oh yeah, which one?
Constantine.
Yes.
I've been looking that up. I'm like,
well,
really
I also heard,
about that.
I guess they're looking at, what was it? I saw the headline, I didn't put it on here, that Bruce Timm, I believe, is looking at Superman Red Sun, possibly translating that to animated.
I think we mentioned that a while ago.
I don't know.
Me and you.
I know Batman Ninja is supposed to be the next one, I believe.
I can't wait for that either.
That's
it's going to be very interesting.
It?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. They've always had a style of anime because, was that? It was the like 6-part mini movies of Batman.
Oh yeah, Gotham Knights.
Yes, that was had a lot of heavy anime style for Batman. So now we're actually going to see a full blown anime of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see.
Made by Japanese creators and artists.
Warner Brothers seem like they always look for Batman. They go to Japan for the art
because
they did that in the animated series too.
Well, moving into our actual news for this week, though.
Yes,
we actually got a Twitter picture from Mr. Colton Haynes.
Actually. Instagram.
Is it Instagram?
Picture.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he was actually tweeting out from the set, or behind the scenes, from the set of Arrow. And it's basically getting the gang back together.
Yep, and I love this original pic. Well, I guess to think about it, what's going on the show right now, this is the original team.
Yeah.
So
these were all first season
second
team.
Was it first and second or first?
I believe Colton Haynes
was
on the first season, yeah. But it's basically the picture
go back and watch it.
I'm going to mess up their names. Actually, I may not. Let's see if I can get this.
Let's see. I'm going to let
Stephen
try.
Amell.
Yes.
Diggle is,
I'm going to just go on there.
You're going to go look.
Yeah, I was going on the straight Instagram.
Felicity, Emily Bent Rickards, Willa Holland. So,
Let's see. You better tag these guys.
Yeah, Thea is in there.
David Paul Ramsey.
That's it. David Paul Ramsey is Diggle who's there. And Colton Haynes is, as Red Arrow, but as Speedy, Roy Harper.
Now, a question. If Thea's back here, and if she is going to be
well,
on
remember,
the original
team. Well, remember, she's out of her coma now.
Right.
But they did that, like, right before the end of the season, so she really didn't get time to do anything in the show.
For me, personally, I'm wondering if we're going to get a Overwatch, Green Arrow, of course, Red Arrow, Speedy, and Spartan.
It's possible.
Just put them all in here. This is the original team. Let's get an episode. I mean, I love the new characters. I love the new Black Canary more than the other one. I love Ms. Terrific, and Wild Dog's one of my favorites. But let's not have them in this show. Let's just get back the originals, and let's let them go. Just let them go. Be free. I want to see that. But, yeah, it's always good to see him come back. I've been waiting for Colton Haynes to come back because I love Speedy, and I just love Roy Harper as a character with the Teen Titans, the Titans, in the Green Arrow books. So I hope maybe next season he can come back as a series regular again.
Yeah, that would be awesome. As I got to send a response out here.
Multitasking on podcasting. Then the next one we have up here is, well, this is Superman alum. I had to look him up.
Yes, no, did you look at the face there to see who it is?
I did, but I'm still a
Supergirl for a while has been bringing characters in from, or actors who played in Superman movies before.
As all Superman, I think, or not even so Superman, the House of Elves shows and movies been doing this for decades now.
Well, here in a couple of weeks, we're going to get episode Fort Roz, and they're bringing back a character that was actually in Superman, or not a character, but an actress who was in Superman and Superman 2. They're bringing in, where's the name? There it is. Sarah Douglas. Now, do you know who... You looked her up and you didn't recognize her?
I did not. I'm sorry. It really didn't hit me.
She was a major female character from both movies. More the second movie than the first movie.
Let's see.
She played Urza.
That's her?
Yeah, Zod's right-hand woman. Yes. And she's obviously going to play an alien in here also. Because she's going to be in the episode for Roz. Now, the episode...
Oh, wow, that is her.
Mm-hmm.
I got this.
Whoa, wait.
Is that me or is that you?
That's me. Stop. There we go.
Little advertisements.
I hate when ads pop up. Okay. Now, it says the episode actually sees Kara Danvers / Supergirl venture to Fort Roz, the former Kryptonian prison that served as a source of nearly all of her season one villains, in the hopes of finding a way to defeat Rain. While there, she and Imra, which is Saturn Girl, will enlist the help of Leslie Willis / Livewire's coming back, and Psy. But looks like from these photos, this excursion will go pretty interestingly, as the group crosses paths with a surprising foe, which is Jinda Cole Roz, played by Sarah Douglas.
Oh wow, man!
So she's
going to
be a
that.
Guest villain for this one episode.
Wow, I really didn't.
Now that you look at the pictures there, you can see her.
Yeah, well, that's the picture I saw. Was this one? I'm like, I don't know who that. Yeah. I can't tell who that is from that picture.
It's another basically Superman alumni coming back to the show.
I feel like once you've played in anything Superman, Supergirl related, you're always going to have a spot with DC on their film or TV movies.
Now, the next story we have is actually one that you are all excited about jumping into.
Oh yeah,
that.
let me close out the Supergirl. Yeah, guys, Constantine's coming back in the animated series. Now, this is something where it's going to be a lot darker than the live-action show.
Yes.
Which
is, I was reading that, too.
Pretty interesting, because usually when you see an animated series to live-action, live-action is usually going to be the one you don't want your kids seeing.
Well, you got to remember, this is a straight-to-web CWC series.
Right.
It's, I believe, 6 10-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm. 10 minutes. Yeah, which
so
is weird.
This
is a 10-minute. They're going 5 minutes extra than they did with Vixen, because if I'm right, Vixen was only
Vixen sometimes, it was
maybe
between
6 minutes.
6 to 8 minutes, somewhere in there.
Okay. Well, this one's going to be a 10-episode, similar to Vixen on the CW seed. Now, exclusive vice president Peter Girardi. Help me out here if I'm getting his name right. I want to slaughter it.
Girardi,
he gives fans an example of what's going to happen in the TV show. This is a darker This is darker than the show, the live action show, and this audience will be an older group of people that he would like to watch, not like the other CW show of Vixen.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does point out that Constantine is originally from Vertigo Comics,
mm-hmm.
and Vertigo is
way darker.
Dark imprint.
Yes, that's why even iZombie, for example.
Now, iZombie came from Vertigo. Mm-hmm. Swamp Thing for years has been Vertigo,
and we all
know it's been brought into the mainstream universe now, just like Constantine was brought into the main universe from Vertigo.
And Constantine's first appearance was in Swamp Thing.
That we're getting starting to get some of the Sandman characters into the mainstream universe also, with the one that's in Metal. Daniel.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
Dream
Daniel.
Something.
Dream. I can't think
Dreamweaver
of his name right
or
now.
Something. I don't know.
I really can't. But we've discussed this last week in the book of Dark Knight Metal issue number 4. But yeah, a lot of the Vertigo characters are coming back, and we've been getting a lot of those. I think since they're actually working on another show. We forget. Remember, we pulled up an article a while ago. There's another Vertigo show coming out of a female superhero.
Yeah, that's Project 13?
Yeah. So that's another one they're trying to put into a TV.
Yeah, they're
live,
working
TV
on a pilot
series
for that.
So Vertigo's coming back.
I don't
into
think
Vertigo.
No, that wasn't Vertigo. Project 13 is an actual. Was
that
think,
DC?
At one point,
it was
mainstream DC.
I'll look that up. I thought it was Vertigo. But anyways, this show is going to be a lot darker than the anime series is going to be a lot darker than the live action one. He says he would not want his kids to watch this one. This is something for just a mature audience. And also, why does it need to be animated? Somebody asked him. Well, he said because it's called Pencil Power. He says that the animators can do more things visually with magic than they could on the show.
Yeah, well, what it is it costs a lot less to do magic correctly animated than it does to do magic on the live action.
So it's
live action magic takes a lot of CG, which is expensive.
Expensive, where he said pencil power is not as expensive, he jokingly said. And then another main question that popped up, will this be a tie-in to the Vixen Arrowverse? Which, in my opinion, whoever asks us,
it already
thinking,
is, yeah.
Asks, whoever asked that, I'm like, have you not been watching the show? He's on Legends. Vixen's on ship too.
Yeah.
He says that he's not going to give a guarantee about a tie-in, but it is going to be tied in, which, as I said already, it's been tied in. We figured that out already. It's the same character. So, I just can't wait for this. We already now are seeing him team up with the Legends right now. In the past, we've seen him team up with Oliver Queen in the Arrowverse.
Well, we will see him team up with Legends in about 9 weeks.
Yeah. Well, he was on the last episode, so I'm like, he's on the ship. He's in there. He's good for a couple episodes now. So I can't wait for that to pop up. I'm definitely going to give you guys my opinion when it airs.
Yeah, that's kind of like
or
what
streams,
we do, isn't
it? Actually.
It
is
our
what
opinion.
We do. Mm-hmm. We just got to figure out if we're Gotham by Gaslight. We got to figure that one out. We'll let you guys know when we're going to give our review.
Well, that's with the animated movies. It's been hit or miss with us.
It has.
Hopefully, this is actually a really good standalone, because a lot of the time, standalones, remember, have
year.
Felt like they're trying to extend it out when it didn't need it.
Yeah, for like the past year, I'm like, even Titans, Titans, I liked it, but in some parts, I'm like,
for me, the ones that are in continuity, like the Titans ones they've done, were hit good. They're great.
Even the Justice League Dark.
No, Justice League Dark was a standalone.
That was a tie-in, I thought.
What did it tie into?
The Justice League, I guess the whole anime universe. Because it looks like the same anime style that they use for Justice League Doom.
Yeah.
Batman.
Okay.
I think it was a tie-in.
The ones I'm talking mainly are like the ones they've done with the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had Titans, they had the Titans versus Justice League. Mm-hmm. Those ones seem like they're doing great. The ones that are doing their own universe.
Yeah.
But standalones, it sometimes feels like they're trying to take a story that is not thin, but
are you talking
it was
also
a shorter
like
story
the Killing Joke?
Extending out. Yeah, the
yeah.
Killing Joke.
Harley
Batman
Quinn.
And Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm. Those ones.
I felt the same way about Justice League Dark, and that was actually a tie-in, but I felt that, like they just, I don't know. It just was something about it was off recently. I think maybe because, I don't know, I'll say they've been doing so good with their TV shows, it doesn't really matter right now.
Yeah.
They've been doing great with those. But then we got another story here, and this is something about Wonder Woman.
It is award season.
Yes.
And
at end of the year,
at the Critics' Choice Awards, Wonder Woman and Gal Gadot both took home some prizes.
Yep. She'd be very proud of everything. I mean, she is, but
Wonder Woman was
I can't
awesome.
Believe it's blown them away. Now, this category was for Best Action Movie, and the other nominations in here were Thor Ragnarok, Logan, Baby Driver, and War of Planet of the Apes. But
War of the Planet of the Apes, I think, is the only one I've not seen out of that.
To be honest, same.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. I've seen Baby Driver.
And really,
Logan,
with
Thor
those
Ragnarok.
Nominations, Wonder Woman should have won it.
Oh, yeah, that was a blowaway. Granted, all of these were a blowaway. Everyone gave these movies praise, but Wonder Woman, as I said, this is the Critics' Choice Award.
Actually, Baby Driver, I enjoyed better than I thought I would.
I went into that one knowing little. I knew enough about it, but all I knew they were cars. This guy that has these earbuds in, that's all I knew about it. So when I went in to see it, I was like blown away because I had no clue it was going to be
some of the driving that
about
was amazing.
That. Oh, dude, the first like what five minutes
like the
of
same
the movie?
You watch Fast and Furious movies is to see the driving.
Driving, yeah. I liked for some reason I liked the driving in here a lot better just because it was short. It wasn't the whole movie. It was just a couple of scenes of him driving and getting away from the cops. But with Wonder Woman winning this award, also Gal Gadot won for, I'm trying to find, what
it's right here. She actually, Gal Gadot took home the hashtag See Her Award, which is, this is the second year they've given this away from the Critics' Choice Awards, and it's given to a woman who has a positive female representation in media.
I feel so stupid being a millennial, I didn't understand what that hashtag meant. I'm like, that's
how
just a hashtag.
Not read that?
I read the hashtag, but I'm like,
you read it as
hashtag.
That
award.
One little
I didn't
symbol,
get that.
You have to say hashtag. That's the way you know this.
I should, but I'm an old man in a young man's body.
Yeah,
kid.
Right. I'm the old man sitting here.
And you have a younger spirit than I do.
It was great to see Wonder Woman and Gal Gadot taking home prizes.
Yes.
Now, we didn't get anything from Golden Globes, but there's plenty of other awards coming.
Mm-hmm. We got the Oscars coming up.
Yes. And for consideration. Yeah, and they've not even announced the Oscar contenders yet, have they?
No, that's why I said we still have that to look forward for.
So the Oscars are still coming. They have a lot of stuff coming up.
And also, I just want to say, we will be getting Aquaman in theaters in December, Shazam, in next year of April, and Wonder Woman 2 for November 1st of next year, and Cyborg. They're still doing a Cyborg movie. Interesting.
Yeah, Cyborg's still on the table.
I thought he was taken off the list.
No.
He's going to be coming out in 2020 along
and
with
Green
Lanterns.
And Green Lanterns is still on the list, on the table.
The Green Lantern is the one I really... I'm ready for Aquaman. It's going to be this year, so I'm ready for it. I got to see a glimpse of him.
Well,
I haven't seen anything
that,
with the Green
that's
Lanterns
one thing
yet.
That Justice League set up that I thought was great. Even in that one scene of you see Aquaman and Mera underwater, it tells you everything you need to know
going
into this Aquaman movie. You're looking at an Aquaman who's been banished himself.
Yeah, he's
from
been
Atlantis.
Out of
he's
Atlantis.
He's never been part of Atlantean culture. Who basically this movie has to reclaim his heritage and his throne.
That was another anime movie that was a tie-in. What was that? Justice League, Aquaman of Atlantis.
The Throne of Atlantis?
Throne of Atlantis, yes. I really think I'm going to see from this movie, because I didn't know that he was an outsider coming back in at the time.
Yeah.
But with him having his armor on, we got to see he's been gone for so long, the people call him Aquaman, and now he's going to have to did something to earn Mera's trust
well,
to let
never,
him get
no,
back
the
in
way,
there.
The way I took it from Justice League is he's never been part of Atlantis.
No, he has. That's why I got too. That's why I say he's never been there. He's been a drunk fisherman helping these people out with the little powers he knew of. Now he's going to have to go back there and claim his throne. I'm pretty sure his brother's not going to like that.
Well, going into these movies that are getting released, we do have some more news from the top of DC Films. Some of, and they both look pretty much like good ideas to me.
Yes.
One is we found out it's official that Geoff Johns is actually staying on as co-head of Warner Brothers Pictures DC Films division.
As he should.
Working with Walter Hamada, which last week we knew was taking over for John Berg.
Yeah, and when that happened, I think a lot of people were in an uproar. A lot of people were happy about it. There was a lot of mixed emotions going in there, but. As long as Geoff Johns is in here, and also as they were saying, Walter's done really good with New Lines, Annabelle and It. Those movies did blow me away in 2017.
Well, we know that Geoff Johns now is that we just said he's staying on as co-head of DC Films. He's also they have a list of some of his things here. Now Hamada is his official title will be president of DC based films production or film production, with Geoff Johns remaining as DC Entertainment President and Chief Creative Officer. Now, according to Toby Emmerich, who's the Warner Brothers President and Chief Content Officer, says this. He said, Walter is creative, resourceful, and committed to excellence, and will bring those qualities to his oversight of our superhero films. He's a terrific production executive and served as an executive producer on two of the summer's most popular films, New Line's It and Annabelle Creation. Now, I'm confident Walter and Geoff, working with our filmmaking partners, will deliver films that will resonate with both broad global audience as well as DC fanboys and fangirls. Now, Walter is a great addition to the Warner Brothers Pictures team, and I look forward to working with him in his new post. Now, this goes along with another story that came out only a couple days ago, that Warner Brothers is doing something that we've been
talking about for a while.
Screaming for for years.
Yeah.
Now, Warner Brothers, we keep saying the Warner Brothers Pictures, where they keep messing with the movies, is they have too many people trying to tell them what direction to go.
Yeah.
You basically have to get everything approved by the board.
Mm-hmm.
They're changing that. They've streamlined it.
And if they go with it, they can always change it if they want to because they're the head guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've locked it down so that now Walter and Jeff have to answer to Toby Emmerich, and that's it.
Yeah.
The rest of the board has no say in what they're doing.
And that should have been the way it was in the beginning.
It says, according to where we at, DCComicsNews.com, after one disappointment after the other, Warner Brothers has finally decided to do what most people have been saying they needed to do for years, that's have less people involved in the decision process. Now, after years of greenlighting by committee, Toby Emmerich, who has been appointed chairman, won't have to answer to anyone but Kevin, Tsujihara, which is the CEO of Warner Brothers.
And Toby even said this, Toby has the green light, I have the red light.
Exactly. So if it's something that Kevin doesn't want to do, he can say no.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're letting Toby go with this.
Yeah. Now, do you think that this might be their final call for having a Kevin Feige-esque role?
I think that's what they're looking for in Walter and Jeff.
Yeah.
And Jeff is a collaborator. He has been for years.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the other projects and stuff he does. Look at
the shows.
Yes, in TV. He's been in charge of TV for a long time.
Which has been doing amazing. DC's television has been blowing people out of the water for the past 4 years. Well, 6 years, because Arrow was the first one. Yeah. So,
Well, no, you can go even back farther than that, because you go all the way back to Smallville.
Yeah.
Smallville was started in 2002,
something.
I mean, Jeff Jones had nothing to do with Smallville.
Yeah,
but
DC television itself has been blowing people away. But I feel like right now, with it where it is right now, we have all these TV shows, and that's what helped Supergirl and Constantine get popular, even though they were not on the CW.
So that that is awesome news for on the movie front.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like they're going to get this figured out finally.
And once I read this, I'm like, oh, good, we can get some good solo projects and not worry about this. I don't know, forced rapid, I don't know, media frenzy. It just seems like everything is forced. Like, their marketing is a little weird.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Well, their marketing is too much.
They've been working by committee for years. Oh, I got to say, hi, Kat. My sister's watching
Hello.
From California.
Oh, hey, what's up?
So, the next thing we got up is huge, also huge news for DC.
Oh, man.
Because we've been waiting.
Now,
we announced
waiting.
That this guy was poached from the competitors about a month ago.
Yeah, and he had some health issues, too, but it sounds like he's back at it and ready to work.
Brian Michael Bendis, we announced about a month ago he was coming to DC Comics, leaving Marvel. Now, we know he's still got some things coming
to
Marvel
for
the next 6 months. He's got to finish up his runs with Marvel. But we do finally have the word on what is his first project for DC. He's actually doing a backup story for Action Comics 1000.
And it's a backup story, so I'm very interested what they're going to put in this backup issue.
Exactly. Well, we know that this is going to be a major oversized issue.
Yes.
They're going to go all out for issue 1000.
They need to. This is one... Who?
This is the first comic...
Who ever has been able to do that?
Legitimately get to issue 1000.
1000, yeah.
Because no one other comic has been around that long.
No.
Because you got to think, it took them... actually, it's 70 year, or 80 years now to get to issue 1,000.
Yeah, because we even have Wonder Woman
this
on
year,
her 700 issue, and she came out like 43?
42, I believe.
42, okay.
Batman was 1939, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think he was 1940. I think Action was...
Action was 38.
39.
Action was 1938. That's
38.
why Supergirl's from Earth 38.
Jeez.
That's why it's 80 years this year.
Jeez.
Superman's
been
old.
A long time coming. Yes.
So, but you know,
he ages slowly though, so he can be a little old.
That's right. Well, Brian Michael Bendis, we know, signed a multi-year deal, exclusive deal with DC after working almost 20 years with Marvel.
Two decades.
It's also been reported that the story will be drawn. This is cool. It's Brian Michael Bendis writing and Jim Lee doing the art.
Yes.
That's a fantastic team up.
And after that, they say there's no further details.
Yeah, they didn't give any other details about it, but we know issue 1000 of Action Comics is actually, we don't have any solicits yet, but it will be out in April, coinciding with Superman's 80th anniversary. So the same month that they're celebrating Superman's 80th anniversary, they're going to get Action Comics number 1000.
And I can't. This we gotta have to. We gotta have to pre-order this.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to pre-order. It's gonna be flying off the shelves.
Well, this one they're actually putting out as a hardcover also.
How many versions of the book am I gonna get to this? That's why I'm wondering. The variant covers. What am I getting?
Yeah, you and your variant covers.
Only for the big stuff. Only for the stuff like this.
And I just hit the wrong button, so you're gonna have to cover the next story. And this one's actually a pretty good story. Did you read through this, right?
This one was one I didn't
this
read
one
all
looks
the way through.
Awesome.
But this is something. Now, let me know if I'm right here. This is gonna go more into what John really explores the other histories of the DC universe. This is something right off the comic books, and it's gonna be a mini series.
No, this is, I believe, I think it's a one-shot. Give me half a second. I'll bring it back up.
Okay. Well, today DC announces Oscar-winning story and screenwriter John Ridley, 12 Years of a Slave and Let It Fall.
Yeah, that's the movies he's done.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's going to be examining the mythology of DC Universe. Literally, this is going to be comics miniseries. The other history of the DC Universe. The story will analyze the iconic DC moments and gains of prospective DC heroes from the traditionally... groups including John Stewart, Extinero. I never heard
this
of him.
This one, I had to look up. He was created in 1988. He's a Mexican sorcerer.
I'm going to Google him in a second here. Also, with this,
he came out and there was a Millennium story that came out in 1988. He was created for that.
Vixen, Supergirl, Katana, Renee Montoya, among others, at this core.
Yeah,
of the
these are all the
basically
disenfranchised
on the lives behind all the costumes.
It's all the groups that that are not your traditional superhero type people. We got John Stewart being the black leader of the Green Lantern Corps. Extraño being a Mexican, Vixen from Africa, Supergirl, Katana are both, and Renee Montoya being women, and Renee Montoya being a gay woman.
Yes. So, I'd never heard this character before.
Montoya was gay, isn't she?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, she's been like that in the comic books for a while now, and she's also Question.
Mm-hmm.
The new Question.
Now, Ridley was saying that I could not... Now, this was, I believe this was announced on Saturday morning... At the Many Shades of Heroism, DC Heroes Through the Afro-American Lens panel. Oh, no, this was announced before that, but they were going to talk. They talked about this more. But Ridley was actually on that panel, and he says, I could not be more excited by the opportunity to excavate the canon of the DC Universe through a vast array of characters who've earned their seat at the table. I'm very impressed with DC's commitment to making their history as reverent and urgent as it is engaging and entertaining for all its many fans. So,
and this, I guess, kind of goes back to seeing some of the stuff they do right now in TV shows, because there was a lot of characters that were underrated that I feel needed to be out in the open more. Mr. Terrific, Vibe. Gypsy.
A lot of these, they made deep dives to pull characters for the TV shows.
Yeah, they did, and I'm glad they did this because a lot of the characters he's mentioning, I'm like, well, we didn't see a lot of them until the new shows came out. The only time I seen these characters, the only time I seen these characters were in Justice League Unlimited. That's not in the comic books. Outside of the comic books, that was the only media form and platform they were given.
Well, this new book is actually, this new miniseries is slated to come out next or the winter of 2018, so sometime in the next couple months. And it's after Ridley right now is doing a run at Vertigo with the American Wave, Those Above and Those Below, which we don't cover a lot of Vertigo stuff, but
no,
I know that's one that I've seen a couple times. I've never got a chance. I've never actually picked it up to read.
I haven't either. So if we find out any more about it, we should talk about it.
But as we get more information about this, and obviously when the book comes out, we're going to probably do a review on it. So we'll give you guys more information about this. This is, and the book is called, is John Ridley is a writer, The Other History of the DC Universe.
I can't wait for that.
It's going to be an awesome book, it looks like.
The more knowledge I know about DC comic books, the better.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next one is kind of interesting.
This one I was a little confused on. I was like, uh-oh.
This one is not a new book.
No.
But it's something new that Tom King is actually putting into DC Comics. Now, he announced this at the panel Saturday afternoon, the PTSD panel. And... It says here that superheroes and comic books may save people and the world from all manner of threats, be they criminals or villains, or criminals and villains on Earth, or much larger intergalactic bad guys threatening the whole world. But all of that world saving comes at repeated exposure to a lot of violence, and now DC Comics is doing something to give their heroes a chance to deal with that exposure. Now, during the panel at DC and DC on this weekend, writer Tom King revealed that DC Comics has created a place for superheroes to deal with the PTSD that comes from the violent job of saving the world. It's called Sanctuary. He says every DC comic is full of violence.
Yes.
It's fun and exciting, and I love reading about that. But we do, do we talk about the consequences of that, both on the characters and the readers? And they ask me to think about that and do something with it. And we are. We've created something. It's called Sanctuary. We're creating something where it's sort of like a crisis center for superheroes. And it's going to be DC-wide. All the superheroes. And it's going to be a place where these superheroes who are living violent lives every day... it'll be a place for the superheroes who live violent lives every day. Batman gets in a fight every single night, five nights a week.
Yeah.
Now, violence in comic books has been a topic that has come up many, many times over the years. But usually in the same way that violence in television, movies, and video games often come up. How that affects viewers and their family and children. Many times, particularly in comic books, the impact of that continuous violence goes unacknowledged, with the good guys always getting back up to continue the fight without even acknowledging that there's any impact to it. And according to King, the message Sanctuary will send is that even heroes struggle with mental health. But more than that, even heroes need help. Now, from another article I read, what this is going to be is, you weren't reading back when Guy Gardner was Warrior.
No.
Were you?
No, I wasn't.
Well, when he was Warrior, he actually had his own bar. It was Warrior's Bar.
Oh, okay.
And it was a location in the DC universe that could be used by anybody.
Okay.
So
was this like taking place on Earth or in space?
No, the Warrior's Bar was just in, I forget what city he was in, okay, but whatever city he was in, he owned a bar.
Okay.
And so you'd see every once in a while a superhero, like you'd be reading like The Flash, and he would meet someone at the Warrior's.
Okay, so it was a
looks
bar.
Like that's what this is going to be. This is going to be a location in the DC universe that's open for any of the creators to use.
Okay.
So it's something that you may see
pop up maybe. Yeah, in someone pop Superman up
like
or...
Superman or Batman or any of the other.
I would
characters.
Like to see Batman in here because, as I said, he's one of the few characters that definitely has PTSD. His whole background was that. Seeing
that's
his
what,
parents.
What is, that's what Batman is.
Yeah, he is.
Batman is the result of PTSD.
Mm-hmm. And I want to see people like Jon Stewart. He was a Marine vet.
Well, see, he's already moving through that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
But I did like how in the animated series Justice League, they would show some glimpses of why he's the way he is because of that.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to see what all these heroes go through, not just people that were in the war or had a bad childhood like Batman and made them who they are. Each of these characters, if they're not even in a bad situation, they're just saving the day. Of all these battles they fight... It takes tolls on their brain.
Exactly. Well, in comic books, they've never dealt with that, really.
No.
They just treat it as, you know what? They just keep moving. Just keep moving.
As I said, I'm used to watching my heroes. They'll have a really tough fight, a saga, the day before. Mm-hmm. Next day, back in costume, ready to go, save the day again. But I don't know if it's that easy.
Well, the one that's
at least
actually
they show
seen,
it,
that
they
I've
show
seen
us.
This already, the toll on it a little bit, is have you been reading Nightwing?
No, I haven't. I haven't read...
In Nightwing, the last couple
like
issues...
Like the past 7-8 issues.
Well, he's opened his own CrossFit gym.
Okay. That
have,
makes sense
they,
for
last couple
Nightwing.
Issues, they've shown that he's doing everything he can to try to get everything done before he's got to be back at the gym by 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to take care of not getting... Or when he's hurt, actually, taking care of himself quick before he can get right back out there. And he's got to be in the gym teaching at 5:30 a.m.
Yeah. But you know what? I think Nightwing would be a... He'd be a great person to do that because mm-hmm. everything he's done in the comic books is recently, it's like this dude's got some mental toes.
Nightwing's the one of the Bat characters that really, I would say, doesn't have PTSD.
No,
and they've actually they've mentioned that the one of the reasons that Nightwing is the way he is in the latest issue of Batman. We saw Batman they're calling it the birth of Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm,
Kid that similar thing happened to Bruce. Where his
parents
are
killed. But he moved on a lot.
No, he actually went even darker than where Bruce
went. Oh, wait, you're not talking about Nightwing.
No.
Oh,
Nightwing.
No, you're not. I thought you were talking about Nightwing.
Now, the difference between what happened with Bruce, because what happened to Nightwing, or to Dick, was very, mm-hmm. very similar to what happened to Bruce.
Right.
And his parents were killed by a violent crime. And
exactly.
He ends up, the difference is, Bruce didn't have Bruce to raise him.
Mm-hmm.
Dick had Bruce to help him get through this, and who had already been through it before to guide him through.
He also
had Alfred,
he saw,
and Alfred is not the same as having someone who's actually been through exactly what you
and
done.
Not just to teach. The for me, I always learn from my family. It's not so much learning what they tell you; it's also learning from what they do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to do the same thing or do the opposite.
Exactly.
Seeing Bruce's brooding and how he's been carrying on with his life with that, Dick does it not because he's trying to find vengeance for his parents. Still, he's doing this because he just needs to be the hero that no one else is. Batman's whole goal is still to find vengeance for what happened to his parents.
Exactly.
And don't want anybody other kid to be and end up like him.
Which actually, in this that story that I was saying, that's in the most recent. Which Batman is? Let me look. I have it sitting right here.
Was that 38?
Batman 38. Yeah, it's actually that is exactly what happens. It's a kid who ends up going through the same thing he
mm-hmm.
did, and it's another rich kid and stuff too. So then the last actual news story we have is the lineup, the All Star lineup for the Dark Knight's Rising, the Wild Hunt, which we mentioned last month was coming. That's the next major crossover event in Dark Knight's Metal. With the books. What, did you find something else?
No, just all these things were popping up, and I don't know if I clicked them by accident or what.
The roster of who's making this book is getting... It's 40 pages. Now, we already know Scott Snyder and James Tynion IV, Joshua Williamson, and Grant Morrison are writing it. And we have Howard Porter... we already knew Doug Mank was doing the art, but we have Howard Porter and George Jimenez are coming in to do art also. So this is going to basically be a major who's who lineup of all-star creators for this one book.
Yeah.
It's 40 pages. It comes out...
And it's going to be $4.99.
$4.99. It comes out February 14th. And the solicit for it is... now, this is the first of of the next set of Dark Knight's Rising after this. After Metal. Or actually, no, it's not after Metal. It's actually still during Metal, but...
Yeah.
It says, continued from the pages of the best-selling Dark Knight's Metal... The Dark Knights ride through the farthest reaches of the multiverse to track down the unlikeliest of teams. The Flash, Cyborg, Raven, and Detective Chimp. The mission, keep these heroes from completing their desperate quest to save all of existence. Plus, Challenger's Mountain crackles with dark energy. It will release an army of the world's worst nightmares into the streets of Gotham City. This one-shot also answers questions... Where are the Metal Men? Ooh, that's cool. That we've never heard of them since the Legends of Tomorrow anthology books.
Okay.
And
yeah, that's right. They haven't been back since.
Who was the latest addition to the team of Metal Men? I could almost see Mr. Robot. Because remember, he was also... he was in the Metal Men in Legends of Tomorrow. You got to read those. You didn't have those.
I have the first three issues. And how many issues were there? Six?
There were six issues. I believe I had one through five.
Okay, I didn't get the last three. I only had the first.
I believe he was in it. I know he's in one of the Young Animal titles, too.
Yeah.
So
okay.
But that's going to be the Dark Knight Rising, The Wild Hunt. That comes out, like I said, in about a month, February 14th. So this one's going to be an awesome book. But I think that's all the news we had for this week.
I think so, too.
And we went through that a whole lot faster than I thought we would. But that's okay, because we have four books we're reviewing
this
week.
Yeah, this is going to be a pretty... I think this is one of our bigger issues.
We should have waited till next week to do these books.
Hey,
but
we can get... We got through our stories pretty good, so we got time.
Yeah. Well, we got the first four books of the Super Sons of Tomorrow storyline, which is one I know you're all excited about, because and me too. Because a couple of the characters we've been looking for and wondering what in the world are they. We've not seen them in Rebirth anywhere or in New 52.
New 52.
Well, we
had them in New 52.
Was Bart in there?
Yes. It was focused on Bart, Tim, Connor, and Cassie.
Okay.
Was the main Teen Titans.
Well, in Superman of Super Sons of Tomorrow, we get the Tim Drake Batman that we've seen in Detective.
Yes.
That he was... he escaped Mr. Oz's prison with the Red Robin Tim Drake.
Right, and he's been name-dropping Connor a couple times.
Yeah, he had mentioned Connor a couple times. Well, we get to meet Connor,
Cassie
and Bart, which in this are Superman, Wonder Woman, and The Flash.
Mm-hmm. Same as Tim Drake took on the mantle of Batman. As I still got to pull those out and look for them, my Teen Titan books. They've done this before, and I'm wondering if this is from the same world.
It's possible. Well, we start with... Superman number 37, and basically the I don't. You read these more recently, yeah. So I'll let you start with this.
We're
going to basically give an overview. We don't want to go page by page. Just give us the story, and we'll pull out stuff.
Bruce Wayne is sitting. Somehow, Bruce Wayne is just now sitting in his library reading. He's actually got time off. Huh.
Well, when you got an entire team of 7 or 8 people patrolling the streets.
It might be a little bit easier for you. Not a one-man job anymore. But there's a Batman coming through, crashing into his mansion, and
he gets attacked by Batman.
Yeah, now this is not Bruce Batman. This is Tim Drake Batman from the future, and he's blow for blow, just bloodying him up. And he says, "Tim, let's get this straight. You're on a mission. I get that, and you're here to try to save the time. But if someone dies, I'm not going to be the one to die." And Tim's face just. Eyes get bigger, like, uh-oh, I've pissed off Bruce.
Well, the result of this fight is Tim pulls a gun and shoots Bruce.
Yeah, and before he even shoots him, he says, "Really, Tim, you've even went low enough to have a gun?"
Yeah.
Disappointed.
That was one of the major things that threw off, that Red Robin, our current Tim Drake, what made him realize that this wasn't the Batman he knows when he pulls a gun.
Yeah, he's like, "Who are you? You're not Bruce."
Yeah, he pulled a gun to fight Doomsday.
But he shoots Bruce straight forward in the chest. And drags his body down to the Batcave. And once he gets down there, he uncovers a lot of these other, I don't know what these were. If these were memory files or what?
No, he goes and looks. This, I believe, is what, he said what he needs from Bruce is his paranoia. So each of these boxes, I believe, is what Bruce has to take down one of those heroes.
I see. Okay. I was a little confused there. I'm like, why is he getting out?
Because you open this case. He says,
because Batman always has
to plan. You learn a great deal from skipping through time like a stone, which is what Tim's doing. He said, Bruce, and he says, your paranoia can be my ammunition.
Because Bruce always has a counter plan for anybody that might try to attack him.
Well, he opens this big crate, and you see there's at least 6 boxes, if not more. But the 6 you see the logos. For Aquaman, Cyborg, Superman, and Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see there, this other case is in there. So the rest of the Justice League and many of the other heroes are in there.
And now we go back to the Fortress of Solitude, and we see Superman there. Now, this is taking... the events are taking after what happened with the whole Mr. Oz storyline. And his parents' statues of the ice are still falling down.
Yeah, he hasn't rebuilt the fortress yet.
But he's doing that in the time being right now. He's... using his heat vision to put them back together. Then he gets an intruder melting a hole through the ice. It's Tim again. Now he's willing
to... Well, it's Batman as far as he can see to start with.
Right.
But he knows immediately it's not Batman.
No.
Because the guy's shooting him.
And he's like, Batman, once again, Bruce would never use guns. He looks at his heat signature, and he looks at his heart, and he's like, you must be a Tim Drake from a different timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And he's correct, and they start going blow for blow. He gets out the Batman suit, I think that was on the moon.
Well, this is a Kryptonian battle armor. But it's like the Batman version of it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why he's taking Superman out so good. And he tosses Superman out of the Fortress of Solitude. And Superman does rip Tim Drake out of there. And that was his whole plan. Once he rips him out of the suit, he has this red kryptonite shield he puts around him, like a containment field. And Superman can't get out.
Exactly.
Of course,
it's like
red kryptonite
containment tube that's made of... not red kryptonite. Yeah, it is red kryptonite. Okay. It's lined with red kryptonite. Which basically takes away all of Superman's powers.
And he says, why are you here? What are you doing this to me for? He says, neither you or Batman can try to stop me now. I must complete my mission. I'm sorry, Clark, but there's no time for what I have to do. I just know I have to save the future. And by doing that, I must kill Superboy.
And in this, we find what we remember from last time was Batman Tim Drake came back to the past last time to kill Batwoman. Because Batwoman was going to destroy the future.
Yeah.
Well, now, for some reason, he thinks Superboy is going to destroy the future.
And we find out right here, he's got somewhat, not PTSD, but going through
he probably has some PTSD going, too.
Well, going through the time field like he's been doing.
A little bit crazy?
Yeah, we'll see in here, as his buddies say, it's not good for anybody to jump through time that much.
Yeah.
Not
well, it's kind of cool looking, though, that his Batman mask actually has red lenses for the eyes instead of the black.
I mean, he is Red Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's taking a night on
now. That's the end of Superman number 37. Yes. Transferring over to
that was part one of the Super Sons of Tomorrow.
Yeah, part two is actually Super Sons number 11.
This is part two. Now he's in Metropolis, which is Batman Tim. He's stalking. Mm-hmm. He's saying he wants to destroy Superboy, Jonathan Kent, because he's going to cause big problems for him in the future. So he's going through here and he's sneaking on some people, but as he's doing this, his hand starts to disappear.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I guess this, my time's running out here. I'm going to have to really hurry up and complete my mission before I get sucked back to my original time.
Yeah. So he's having a hard time staying in our time. But he is watching the Clark and Lois's apartment. So they, because I remember he's trying to look for
Jonathan. And Lois comes in, and she, and well, anyways, before he
breaks into Jonathan's room to start with,
and he pulls back the covers, and once again, Jonathan has snuck off somewhere, and he's not really in their his bed,
mm-hmm.
his pillows with a cover on top of it. Then that's when Wonder Woman, not Wonder Woman, I'm sorry, Lois walks in. She says, "Bruce, what are you doing here, Batman?" And then he shoots her with a dart, knocks her out.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at New York City. And this is the Teen Titans fighting, I don't know what the
fighting, are. Yeah. It's just the villains that they're fighting.
And, of course, this is pretty cool panels and some good fight
yeah.
scenes.
Yeah. And so, well, these guys, you see a red blur and everybody's getting smashed. So all of a sudden, they're like, wow, well, thanks, Kid Flash. You took out all these people. He's like, I didn't do this. And nobody can figure out who's did this. Finally, Robin says, well, Starfire's like, well, if you didn't do it, who did? Robin says, okay, Starfire, do me a favor. He points his gun straight up and fires it. He says, catch Superboy. He shot the gargoyle on the roof and knocked Superboy off the roof, and he falls down and Starfire catches him. Starfire.
I'm sorry, Starfire.
Don't get those messed up. That's a totally different person.
That is. Now we go back to Titans Tower in San Francisco, and they're basically trying to figure out why Superboy wanted to help them, which they're very appreciative of, but it's really because of Damian. Damian and him have been, well, as we know, they have their own book. They've been buddy-buddy.
Well, the problem is, Damian had actually promised Jonathan at least once a month they'd go out on patrol. And Damian's like, well, I didn't promise anything.
Of course.
Or even if I did, it doesn't matter because doesn't need to be done.
Yeah.
Basically just being Damian.
Yep. And then they get a Batman on their communicator and on their TV monitors. And it's the Tim Drake Batman. He's telling them, basically, give me up... Connor Kent, give me Superboy, and I'll spare all of you guys.
Not Connor Kent, Jonathan Kent.
I'm sorry. He's coming into there in a little bit. He tells me, give me Jonathan.
Well,
and
the first thing he did was he locks down Titan's Tower.
Mm-hmm. Because he wants Superboy.
Exactly.
He says he's a menace, and he's going to do something bad to harm everyone. So if you give him up now, it'll go a lot better than him having to forcefully come out and get Jonathan.
So they're all fighting against him, trying to find... they're trying to get out, because the reason that... Tim was able to do this was Titan's Tower is still based on the original technology that our Red Robin had built into it for the security system. And this is a version of him from the future, so he remembered building the security system into Titan's Tower.
And also, if I'm looking here correctly, the future is going on there discussing things. It looks like this was Connor Kent, Damian Wayne, and Tim Drake.
It does look like that, possibly.
And they're discussing, they're arguing, rather, if Damian Wayne is now Batman or not, or should Tim Drake still be Batman. And this is all happening in his future. But it seems like Superboy goes nuclear.
What this is, that's Raven looking into Batman's mind to see what he's seeing from the future.
Okay, thank you.
And Raven's like, no, wait. What did you see is what they ask her. She says, Metropolis destroyed, millions dead, all because of Superboy. And we find out later what that is, that what happened to Superboy. The next page at the top, it says that.
Okay.
So, that's why Batman wants to take down Superboy. And he actually activates the defenses of the tower to collect Superboy and gets him wrapped in this
black
tar
goo.
But as he's doing that, we've seen in the past that Superboy is sometimes having problems with
his power
going into overdrive.
Yeah, and as all of them have had that. We've seen Supergirl have that problem recently on, the TV show.
Yeah.
Superman's had that problem.
In this, the tar is surrounding him. He's starting to get frustrated and get pushed beyond his limits. And all of a sudden, he's like, Damian tells him, John, get out of here. Leave now before something goes bad. So he takes off, flies into the sky as far as he can, then explodes, kind of like a mini solar flare.
Yes, that's
which we've seen from Superman already.
Right.
Our current Superman, we've not seen it from.
No, not our current one. Our current one,
that was
not
the New 52 Superman that did that. I don't know if ours does that or not.
I feel like he will. Or he can. Not so much he will, but I feel like he can, too.
Well, that's one of those powers that you don't want him to use. And the writers don't write that in there unless they absolutely have to.
All he needs to do next time Doomsday comes up, grab him, go up. you're good. but Titus Tower, since he's still up in the air and the explosion's so big, it blows up the top mm-hmm. half of Titus Tower.
And basically, this is just making the point for Tim Drake that this is the reason that I have to take him down. But after the explosion, you see, looking behind three people's heads, trying to figure out, they see this blast happened in at the tower, and you see, someone asks, "Is he dead, Cassie?" You see Connor, "What do we do?" Then you find, what Titans do, Bart? So this is Cassie, Bart, and Connor, our old friends from the Titans.
Yeah, and it says we need to work together. That's
exactly
what it says.
And then you see Superman, Wonder Woman, and the Flash, which looks like Reverse Flash costumes because it's in yellow, but then you got to remember that Bart's costume as Flash was always yellow.
Right.
Because that was Kid Flash costume.
The best way to put this is Kid Flash with a full-fledged mask on without the
hair.
He
looks like
Ebert
Thawne, but that's not him.
No.
And that's the end of Super Sons number 11. That brings us into Teen Titans number 15, which
is
part three of Super Sons of Tomorrow. And we're seeing the aftermath of the explosion above Titans, the Teen Titans Tower in San Francisco. Because remember, there's also the Titans Tower in New York.
And
which is actually old school. If you actually pay attention to back in, I think, the 80s or so, they actually had Titans and Titans West Coast.
Yes, they did.
The West Coast Titans were in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Regular Titans were in New York.
Yep. I have some of the books, actually. Well, this looks like Titans Tower definitely just got blown up. And all of them are passed out. Clothes and costumes are damaged. Superboy,
John is in the bay,
floating,
sinking down.
Well, sinking, yeah, not floating. Tim Drake sees this, and it's his opportunity to try to find him.
Mm-hmm.
Robin does, too. He wakes up Damian, and he makes sure everyone's alive. They're unconscious, but their heartbeat's still really good. So he says, now I need to go find Jonathan before Tim does.
Yeah.
Which he does. He rescues him from the water, wakes him up.
But we also see during all this that
Tim Drake.
Tim is actually still having a hard time staying in our timeline.
Yes.
So he's actually I got distracted by the chat for a second. Vicky's in the chat.
Well, he gets out and he says he needs to be a better hero than what he came here for. And he's going to show everyone mm-hmm. the light of day.
Well, part of that is he's looking at some of the prototype costumes that are on the displays in the tower. And he creates a brand new costume and a new character for himself from those costumes to help hold him in this timeline. And now he is known as Savior.
Yes, and he has, for me, this looks like the original Red Robin mask.
Okay.
From the first time he became Red Robin.
See, I wasn't reading when he became Red Robin. Last time, when I was reading, he actually was still just Robin.
Right.
I know which costume you're talking about, but...
But now you get... Damian and Jonathan. Jonathan just feels really bad for what he's doing. He's just like, I almost killed my friends. I gotta find them, make sure they're alive. And then Damian tells him, you're fine. Don't worry about it. He's like, relax. Stay seated. He grabs Superboy by a collar and says, look, they're fine. I've looked them up on the radar. They're alive. They're okay. You need to get your head in the game.
Yeah, we need to get you to somewhere safe.
Yeah. So he's like, where can we go? It's like the Fortress of Solitude. He's like, no. Tim Drake knows where we are. He knows all of us. That'd be the first place you look for us for. Mm-hmm. Don't go to our homes.
And the interesting, next page we get to the Titans of Tomorrow headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how far in the future or what timeline or anything, but we do see it's Wonder Woman, Superman, and the Flash. But it's Bart, Cassie, and Connor Kent.
And to be honest with you, they look still as they're the heroes they should grow up to be.
Yeah.
They're not crazy like Tim. And even they are the ones saying, Tim's been going through these timelines trying to fix them so many times. I think his brain's a little wacky.
Yeah. He's injured himself a little.
Yeah.
So then we get back to regular Titans Tower.
Excuse me.
And the Titans are awake and trying to figure out what happened. All of a sudden, Robin and Superboy are missing, but Kid Flash found the costume or found a note that just says, "Give me time, R."
Robin.
At this point, that's when Savior shows up, and the it tells the Titans that basically this is what I was trying to stop from happening. Look at the tower. Now, what do you think is going to happen when he gets more power?
So it's just going to continue more. So now he mm-hmm. has.
It makes sense for some of the Titans.
Yeah, Raven and Beast Boy. Raven has looked into Tim's mind. She knows what mm-hmm. he's talking about is not a lie. There is some caution they need to take with getting Connor.
Well, there's a
I'm
major
sorry, getting Connor, getting Jonathan. Yeah.
But there's a major difference between Raven and Beast Boy are thinking capture him, contain him, and try to help him figure out how to fix this. Whereas we know Tim Drake's whole or savior now, his whole idea is capture him, contain him, and destroy him.
Yeah. And this is where Starfire steps up and the rest of the Titans, Kid Flash and Aqualad, join Starfire. No, we probably should try to find our friend and talk to him.
Yeah.
And then this is when Savior's like, well, some of them are going to help me, but... And then he starts to fade away, and he's like, oh, no, it's too late. I don't need to go yet. This is where his Titans of Tomorrow team headquarters...
Yeah, he starts phasing back into the... with his Titans.
And this is when Bart grabs his hand and tries to pull him back, but it doesn't really work.
No. And he pulls a... wait, let me see here. He's getting basically a tug-of-war between our time and their time, and... where are we at?
Raven and...
Yeah, the current Titans get pulled into that future for a minute, too, and see Titans headquarters all better.
Yes.
But all of a sudden, then they come back to our time again, and it's back to being destroyed again.
Yep. And it's like, wait a minute, we're really in the future, almost. It's just a little
time. Yeah, they saw the future, and they came back. But when they came back, Raven and Beast Boy and Savior are missing.
Yes. And now you have Aqualad, Kid Flash, and Starfire on their way to help the others.
Yeah. Well, the three of them have to realize that, wait a minute, we have to find Robin and Superboy before the others do.
Yes.
So that we can save them from everybody else. And Aqualad goes to the water, sticks his hands in it, uses his Atlantean magic, and says, wait a minute, I know where they're at.
And that was the end of Super Sons of Tomorrow, part
3. Part 3, which was in Teen Titans number 15. Now we move on to Superman number 38.
This is...
Which is Super Sons of Tomorrow, part 4.
Yes. Now this is not the finale. There's another one coming out next week, but...
Yeah, if you read the solicit for this book, it said the finale. They were not right.
Yeah, I thought this was it.
Which is weird that it's a 5-part story and not a 6.
Or 4.
Yeah, usually you're going to get 4 or 6, but 5-part's a little different.
Well, and here we're under sea, and we see Aqualad trying to find the ship that John and Damian are on, which they eventually do end up finding, but all they can think is, man, they ratted out on us. Our team's turned their back on us. They're here to give us up to Savior at the time.
Yeah, that's what John and Damian are thinking, because they're in their bunker under the water, which was built by Damian and Bruce.
Yep. And then this is where they attack the rest of the team. And they're doing pretty good, actually, for a little bit until Kid Flash runs up to him and grabs Damian. And Damian's like, ah, I wanted you to grab me. Knocks him out. Aqualad's strength just gets wrapped, and he's like, okay, enough of this. He knocks both of them out so they get their head clear. Like, we're not trying to attack you. You attacked us. We're here to help. Like, oh, sorry. but now we are in the hyper time, and this is the Titans of Tomorrow trying to get back to our timeline, which is Connor Kent, Superman, Cassie Sandsmark, Wonder Woman, and Bart Allen, The Flash. And as we go by, we see everything from Tim's time in this current timeline.
And you see Bart holding on to a severed hand of Tim Drake.
Yeah, he says his hand has a mind of his own right now. He wants to get there. And now we go back to our present timeline, and they're like, we need to find a way to get him. And the best way they can figure out to stop Raven from tracking them is to knock them out.
Yeah.
If their brain's sleeping, can't find them.
And then Damian's like, no one's going to knock me out. This doesn't happen. And John just, bang, knocks him out.
Yeah, he says, I actually disagree with this. He says, look here. This is the safest place I know. He pulls out a coordinates, and he's like, let's go to the Fortress of Solitude. And then he tells Kid Flash, I need a little bit of speed to knock myself out because I'm the only one here strong enough to knock me out. I feel like Starfire could knock him out, but he feels he needs to do it himself. So Kid Flash pulls his hand back, speeds up real fast, and knocks him out. So both of them are unconscious, and they go to the Fortress of Solitude. Once they wake up, they see that... I love how Aqualad wakes them up. He gets a big block of ice, dumps it on them. As he dumps it, it turns into water. And he's like, well, you couldn't have just gave me some smelling salts by any hand.
Yeah.
Damian does. And once they wake up, they see all the damage is done to Superman, John's dad. This is what Damian says. I told you this was a bad idea to bring us here.
And, well, then John finds his dad in the red kryptonite vase and runs up to him. And Superman tells him, no, it's red kryptonite, John. It weakens us. Get away from here.
And then there
it affects our emotions.
And then it's also able to bring the other Titans can pull him back. He says, see, John, it wouldn't have been able to do that if it wasn't Red Kryptonite.
Exactly.
And this is when he gets angrier and angrier.
Well, you got to remember, Red Kryptonite does that also. It messes emotion. With their emotions.
And this is perfect. This is another reason why Tim Drake brought this here. And he starts going berserk again. But he does break out of it. Superman does. He tells John. He just screams out, John. And he's trying to now attack Drake. And he says, look what you've done to my son. How can we fix this? And he says,
well, really... that's because Tim just showed up.
Mm-hmm. All of them actually showed up now. This is the Titans of tomorrow. Our Titans, Superman, Savior, all of them in the same spot right now by the Fortress of Solitude. And once they all get there, he's about to go berserk or nuclear again.
Yeah.
And instead of letting him die, the Titans from tomorrow says, we need to all come together. And this, they really all know each other at this point. Well, they know them. Our Titans do not know who the heck these new Titan members are from the future. But Wonder Woman's...
I'm wondering if Superman may recognize them. Because remember, this is a different Superman.
Yeah, and this is also we're going to find out
in part 5.
This
is the original Superman.
We'll get to that a little bit later in our synopsis of the preview or comics that's coming up this week. But she says Titans together, they all start working together to help each other. You got Cassie grabbing the orb that's blowing up and have Raven help cover that. Beast Boy's on top, it's an octopus, and you got the two Flash and Kid Flash running around to contain it. But Savior gets his hand back now. He says, finally, now I'm complete. I can do my whole mission I wanted to. And then Superman's there, and he says, I don't have time to worry about you, Drake. I'm just here to save my son. And then Connor Kent comes up and taps Superman on the shoulder and holds him and says, there's two of us here. We need to save John.
Exactly.
So all of them are now working together to stop them.
Which is cool, because in this, he knows who John is.
Yeah. Or I'm not... Yeah, he... See, I don't know what timeline they're from. I'm just glad I see all my characters back from the Titans in 2006, but... then you get Tim Drake standing there ready to do his duty. Robin, this is when we have all these characters here. It gets confusing. You get Damian Wayne pop up on Tim Drake's back and tries to punch him in the face and says, no more. We're stopping this right now. We don't want you here. And he says, no, get off of me. I have to do this. Now, I was a little confused here. Did he somehow absorb?
What it is they took the Flash and Kid Flash, funneled the power that was that was exploding with the funnel into Tim Drake, who's actually phasing out of time right now. So he's saying, you know what? Finally, by the way I can save all of you is by absorbing the power as I'm leaving, as I'm getting pulled out.
Yep, and this is where it's like, oh, he did have a good plan all along. He wasn't trying to kill him.
Well, maybe. We still have one more issue.
Yeah. But as this all happens, we see him blow up, and he's basically saying, I actually became Savior that I wanted. I saved the day. Mm-hmm. And this is a great panel and picture right here. You get the two Flashes of Bart and Wally West, Cassie as Wonder Woman. Then you see Connor Kent right beside John and Superman, which are hugging each other. I like
how they're making the changes between the subtle differences between Connor and Superman.
The black and red S is still very... Mm-hmm. It's still on his emblem, so he's still the Superboy that we knew before. And now we see Tim Drake going back into his timeline,
He's back into the hyper time again.
And says, Jonathan asks, what happened? Why am I not dead? And he says, someone actually did the right thing and saved you, to save all of us. And I love how when he's in this hyper time, we see all the events from Crisis, from Flashpoint, from The Dark Knight Metal,
from Rebirth.
The
Green Lantern there. Is that actually out of...
I can't think the name. You let me read a book.
Is that from Zero Hour?
Yes, thank you. Zero Hour.
Yes, that's a panel from when Hal Jordan was actually collecting all the rings.
Right. So, and you also see the one from the New 52. Every time I see these things happen in DC Universe, I'm just glad that other characters know it was a thing and it happened.
Yeah.
And it's connecting each other. But not the end, the very end, but that's the end for this week. This is part 4 of what happened in Superman. And
it will be finished this week on January 17th at Super Sons number 12.
Super Sons, okay.
So, and that's the end of our reviews for this week.
Yep.
And this week, as every week, that means we got one more thing to do. And that sound means can only mean one thing. Mm-hmm. This week, as every week, it is time for our comic shop pull list. This week, our comic shop pull list is for January 17th, 2018. And the comic shop pull list is always brought to you by the Shazbots. That was their song, The Comic Shop. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook. And go check them out at theshazbots.com. Let them know that the DC Superpowers podcast sent you. Now, we had, I believe, 11 books this week?
Yes. And start off for it, we have Aquaman issue number 32. The Crown Comes Down, part 2. As Aquaman's resistance against King Wrath gains momentum, a new kingpin of crime emerges from the Atlantean underworld, King Shark. But whose side is he on? He is a very powerful ally, or undercurrent, or dangerous new agent of evil. So, what side will he be on for Aquaman and Atlantis? We will find out in Aquaman issue number 32. Art is done by Ricardo Federici and written by Dan Abnett. Okay. I did not know King Shark was from Atlantis.
He wasn't, originally.
That's what they're saying, though, right? From Atlantean's underworld.
No, he's in the Atlantean underworld, yes, but he didn't come originally from Atlantis.
Okay.
The interesting thing is this one actually comes with a digital download now. I'm wondering, is this one switching to a monthly comic now?
It might be because now $3.99.
Yeah.
Let me see when the next issue actually is coming.
Well, let me see. Let me go down to Batman here. The next issue we have is Batman number 39. Yeah, and that one's... Aquaman must be switching to monthly.
Yeah, they are, because we're not going to get another one until February.
Okay. Well, the next title we have up is Aquaman. Batman number 39. Super Friends Finale, which that has also been a great story. Super Friends?
Yeah.
Well, we have... since the beginning, the friendship between Batman and Wonder Woman has stood at the heart of the DC Universe. Now that friendship is coming apart, and as it does, the universe itself begins to crumble. Don't miss the conclusion of Batman's epic team-up with Wonder Woman.
Now, this is also written by Tom King, right?
Yes, this one is art by Joel Jones, and it's written by Tom King. So I'm thinking, where's the first half of this one? Because last time, Superman, I'm wondering if that doesn't have something to do with Superman this week also. No, that's Super Sons of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, what?
Wait, what? No, that's Superman.
Are we
okay right
now? No. What did it? Okay, I see what they're doing.
What's going
they
on?
They did. No, they're messing with it. Because when we get there, Superman is actually the finale of Super Sons of Tomorrow is in Superman. Then Super Sons is the epilogue, is what they're saying. They're changing stuff up on us as we go.
Yeah.
What it is the interns who are writing this don't know what's going on, obviously.
And we're trying to make sense of all this, so we're just going to keep going as, I guess, time goes.
That brings us to the next book for this week, though.
And this is Batwoman issue number 11, Pigsty. It's a new year, and Professor Pig needs a new Daltrone for his latest
artistic endeavor.
As Batwoman tries to put her personal demons to bed, she must stop the madman from carving out his sick intentions. Yeah, and Professor Pig is a weirdo.
Yeah.
Covered by Bill Sienkiewicz and Scott...
Sienkiewicz.
And Scott Godlewski, and written by Kay Perkins.
Okay. Next up is actually the first of the brand new books spinning out of Metal in the new age of DC heroes. We have Damage number 1. Ethan Elvis Avery was just wanted to serve his country. Instead, he's been changed into a monster. Tasked as the government's own living, breathing, ticking time bomb, Ethan retains no control when the monster takes over. Cheaper than a nuclear warhead and twice as effective, Ethan fights to rein in the damage he unleashes when the beast inside him springs free for 1 hour a day. With everyone around him in danger, Ethan struggles to contain the damage he inflicts on the DC Universe. The art is done by Danny Meekie and Tony S. Daniel. It's written by Robert Venditti. Now, this is the same solicit we read last week.
Yeah. As we said, not going to make any new comparisons, but the big difference is...
Comparisons. Everybody is going to make comparisons on this.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about this book just because of that, but hopefully it... I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good story. Just the whole comparison issue they're going to have to get past. The difference is the whole 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
He only has
that
just that 1 hour. We'll see. I wonder how they're going to incorporate that. Actually, you know what? before we move on real quick, they have a preview now for everyone that's listening. If you want to go on DC Comic Books website and look up the new Damage book that's coming out this week.
They have a 60-page preview on their solicits.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it to load up. It's not going. If it takes any longer, I'm just going to... Okay,
well,
there we
go. Whenever he hears this, it'll be time to read it anyway.
It will. I just want to get a little look in here. Oh, yeah, this is...
That yeah, it's Hulk.
Yeah. mixed in with a little bit of... I'm getting a Frankenstein feel from him, too. But the damage he causes from everyone around the city, I don't see how he's really being too much of a hero right now. It looks like he's just releasing a lot of... And I was wondering if they're going to put that on there. As the book goes by, there's a
runs,
I was
yeah.
wondering if that was how they're going to show, yeah, he only has these six... Or this whole hour of 60 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
So this looks interesting. The next book we have is Green Lantern's issue number 39, A World of Our Own finale. Green Lantern, Simon Baz, and Jessica Cruz face... down a chimera monster as a conflict of Ungera comes to a head. With the power of the hunted alien race...
Hundred alien races.
This beast plans to wash Ungera and the Green Lanterns clean with a red tide of blood and violence. That sounds scary.
Yeah.
Art done by Matt Santarelli. Carlo Barbetti, and written by Tim Seeley.
Okay.
And this next one looks... I didn't know this was a thing.
Well, this is the first book that without Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti on it.
That might be
this is
guy.
The first book of the new team for Harley Quinn, number 35. Man Batter Up, part one.
She does look like a female Man Bat.
That's, yeah. Harley's in
or
a...
She-Bat.
Harley's in a dark, dark place after the... Harley is in a dark, dark place after the hard right turn her life took. So when the citizens of Coney Island say it was a mysterious bat that kidnapped one of her friends, she's not going to take it lying down. Art is done by Inaki Miranda, and it's written by Frank Thierry. So this is a brand new creative team. The first time we've had a new creative team for Harley for years.
Yeah, hopefully they do good. Like I said, I haven't been reading Harley comic books like that, so I don't really have too much of an input on it. You have.
I have read.
So you'll be able to pick up the
differences. That still is one of my favorite books every week that it comes out. I'm surprised still.
And like I said, it looks like it is a lot of fun. Just it was one of those things not for me to spend the money on.
Yeah.
Next one is Justice League issue number 37, Justice Lost Part 4. A public confidence in the League continues to fall. Standard relationships in the team set aside, with Simon Baz is kidnapped by a mysterious figure known as the Fan, a zealous Justice League acolyte who was inspired by the team as a youth and who now deals with death to the Justice League's enemies. The Fan knows literally every detail about the League membership, powers, and tactics, and easily turns their own system and resources against them for their own good. Art done by Pete Woods and written by Christopher Priest.
Yeah, I believe I've read the first two or three parts of this already, and this the Fan is actually they've had a dresses up as Batman and does everything the same way Batman would, except for he crosses the line and kills people.
Okay.
So Batman's been being blamed for these murders.
I see. Once again, who's Batman never killed before, but now a little bit more conflict.
Well, the next up. We actually do have Superman number 39, which is Super Sons of Tomorrow finale.
Not finale.
No, this one's the finale because the next one's the epilogue. Epilogue comes after finale.
But, okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Now you see where we're at.
Now I
flipped it up on mine.
Okay.
So we weren't reading it out of order. Now, with no other choice left, the Batman of Tomorrow brings in the Teen Titans, or the Titans of Tomorrow, to take on today's Teen Titans. As the life of Superman's son hangs in the balance, see the return of future Superman Connor Kent, Wonder Woman Cassie Sandsmark, and Bart Allen Flash in the final battle of this epic crossover. Now, we've already seen them in it, so when did he bring them in? Well, art done by Barry Kitson and is written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi.
Okay.
And next we got Super Sons, I believe. Don't you have it there? Or are you skipping past that?
Wait, what? The way I set this up, I got Trinity next. Super Sons is very last on the list for me.
Well, no, Super Sons is the next part of the same story.
Oh, okay, so you're going to go with this
one. Do that one next.
Super Sons of Tomorrow epilogue. Superboy and Robin must face their repercussions of the events of Super Sons of Tomorrow and how the emotional toll will affect their relationship with each other. Their parents and Teen Titans, meanwhile, the past rears its ugly head to haunt
Damian.
Or haunt Damian Wayne in the form of his mother, Talia al Ghul, which can never be good.
No.
Art is done by George Zimmermans and written by Peter J. Tomasi.
So this is a 6-part story.
I guess so.
So they
this
were
was just
the
weird one.
Through.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the way they got this on the website.
Yeah, the interns writing this were messing things up, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. Once we get the actual book, we'll see if it's part 4 or part 5 or whatever.
So, but we have 2 books left for this week. In Trinity number 17, No Home for You Here, Part 1, Batman and Superman embark on a quest to help Wonder Woman rediscover Themyscira, but finding Diana's lost homeland proves more difficult than these three heroes expected. While on their journey, a distress call from a nearby ship turns out to be more than meets the eye, and the Trinity find themselves marooned on the dread island of Scartaris. To make their way back home, the heroes will have to overcome Demas, who will stop at nothing to seal off Scartaris from the rest of the world forever. And the art is done by Patrick Zercher, and it's written by James Robinson. And we got 1 book left for this week.
Next one, or last one, is Nightwing issue number 37, The Untouchable Reckless.
Ruthless.
Ruthless, thank you. Nightwing's investigation leads him to a former costume crime fighter and ally. In this special flashback issue, illustrated by superstar artist Cullis Johnson, Dick Grayson will retrieve his time as Robin and see if his past mistakes are the key to the mystery he must resolve today. Art done by Klaus Janson, thank you. And written by Sam Humphries.
This has been an interesting story so far of Nightwing.
I haven't been reading the past couple issues of Nightwing.
Well, the villain in this, the Judge, is someone that they pointed out in this. They set him up as he's someone that Dick had to deal with as Robin, then as Dick Grayson later, probably when he was on the police force.
Mm-hmm.
And now as Nightwing. It's someone it's basically his white whale, the guy he never could catch.
Okay. Huh.
But that brings us to the end of this week's books. There's a lot of books coming this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of
there's a lot of different things happening in each of those books.
Super Sons.
Yeah, the end of this story is going to be awesome. And to see what they do, are they going to leave the Titans of Tomorrow? Are we going to be able to see them actually come back into our main universe now?
Yeah, and I'm just surprised that we actually saw the Connor Kent, the Casey, the Bart Allen before we did Martian Manhunter and Shazam.
Well, we have seen hints. those guys are coming back.
But this is a fun. These are some fun books. I'm actually really glad I brought these on with me on vacation so I could just get everything and read them on the ride. So that's that.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's been a great week for books. A lot of new stuff, even though we blew through it pretty quick, there was a lot of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this week is also the premiere, the mid-season returns of Supergirl, The Flash,
Arrow.
The premiere of Black Lightning, and Arrow are all back this week. I believe Gotham is coming back in the next couple weeks also.
Yep.
So we're back to all the TV stuff. We're hitting on all cylinders with the books. And we have, with Damage coming in, we have the first of the
new
age of DC heroes.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good week.
Exactly.
We got a lot to cover next week.
That brings us to the end for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they can actually get a hold of us?
You can find us, everybody. Well, first of all, you can find us at DCSuperpowers.com.
Okay.
Once again, as we say, check our sponsors.
Yes, check out the DCSuperpowers.com. Go to the sponsors page. Yeah, I think I called it the sponsors page. You can
it's sponsors page.
You can get superhero stuff. You can go to Sideshow Collectibles. You can go to Things from Another World. And we also have Gym Superheroes. Check them out. If you buy anything from there through our links, it doesn't cost you any extra. They just give us a little bit of a percentage of what you buy to thank us for sending you to them.
Mm-hmm. Also... You can find us on our social media platforms. We are on Twitter at SuperpowersDC, and on Facebook and Instagram, we are DC Superpowers Podcast. For my personal social media, you can find me, Vernon McWayne Moore, on Facebook, VLO on Twitter, and I'm Howlin' That Wolf on Instagram. My partner Ken, you can find him on his.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm just Ken Rose. You can also find email the show,
yes,
DCSuperpowersPodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on our network homes of the Tangibound Network at TangiboundNetwork.com and Weeby Geeks at WeebyGeeksPC.com. And then I think that about wraps it up for this week, Vernon.
I think it does. Like we said, we had a lot of stuff to cover, but we're going to have even more next week. I think we are going to just have a very big review-heavy episode next week.
Yeah.
We'll see what the news brings us, but we know we're going to give you guys all
the shows.
We're
going to have to at least do the two books the comic
totally,
reviews. We're going to
totally.
Have two books for that finish Super Sons of Tomorrow. We're going to have to do Damage next week.
And do you want to actually do a little bit of a Dark Metal Dark Metal tie-in with Duke?
Yeah, we actually did not do Superman and the Signal this week.
Batman and the Signal.
Or Batman and the Signal this week. But that's because somehow that slipped right through our when we weren't looking.
Yeah,
so we're both going to get
even
that
see it
this
at the store
week,
when
and
I
we'll
went.
Have it for you guys next week.
We find it. So we'll give you all that next week, guys. So tune in, check us out, and we'll give you our thoughts, our reviews, and hopefully get a little bit more contact with the fans on Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm. So, and I want to thank everybody for checking us out on Facebook Live this week. Like I said, if you watch our Facebook page, we will let you know when we're going to go live. Usually it's going to be Monday nights.
Yeah.
Right around 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for that, Vernon, I want to thank you for hanging out with me this week, brother.
Always, always fun, right?
And we'll see you next week.
Yep.
And Super Friends, we'll see you next week.
Take care.